Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
We give thanks to the Almighty Yah for the opportunity to perform for you today. We want to thank Robin Applewood, Dogman Joe. Give it up. Give it up for the Sheba Warriors band. This is Queen Makeda coming to you from Zion, Jerusalem, Israel. Visit us online, queenmakeda.com. Check us out over here. I'll be signing for you. Bless and love. Thanks to all my fans who came out. I love you. We love you so much. Shalom.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Kol Elohim. Once again, I'm your brother Ariel here at Ibrit Culture. Ibrit Culture. Two more episodes and the next brother is up, Brother Yariel. But we got these final two, which is the judgment and wrath of Yah. The judgment and wrath of Yah. I want to open up for a prayer before I get this rambling in my mouth and talking. Allow Abba to come through me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Toda Abba Yah once again for allowing the Sabbath door to be open, Father. All are welcome. Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to come and rest and lay down our burden and just get away from this world system for 24 hours, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I ask that all those who are ailing, that you heal and touch and heal them, Father. I ask all those who are waiting on answers from you, Father, that you give them that answers, Father, that your will be done for their life, Father. I ask and pray for all the Kohanim, Father, that you strengthen them, that you give them the Ruach, all the HaKodesh, Ruach HaKodesh, Father, that you give it to them with no measure, Father. Pour all into me, Father. I ask and bless that you touch those who are sick, Father, those who are maybe ailing from physical, mental, or spiritual, Father, that you clean them, Father, that you heal them, Father, that you give them comfort, Father. I ask and pray that you come through me like a mighty wind, Father, and move me out the way, Father. I ask for all the yellow deeds, Father, that you cover them, Father, for all the Akotis, Father, for all the Emas, Father, for all the elders, Father, the whole nation of Israel, Father, everyone who put their hand to the plow, Father, give them an extra measure of your Ruach, Father. In Yahushua's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to continue in the judgment and wrath of Yah. And it's not going to be a little different. We're just going to pick up where we left off. But before we get into that, you know how I would like to do. I just like to talk. And for me, myself, I could not wait for the Sabbath. I couldn't wait for this to have been a long week. I mean, a long week. We had so much going on at work, you know, and at the end, this, you know, if anybody ever worked in this field and you know when the state come through, that everybody in in positions of power is running around with their heads cut off like chickens. And us as the lay people, we are getting the brunt of everything and trying to get all the paperwork right, trying to get all your books right, because when DDA come through, the state come through, these are the people that give us our funding. These are the people that may audit us. These are the people who may just sanction us, and we be out of business. Everybody knows, especially if you worked in the hospital, OSHA. I believe OSHA comes through there, or if you ever have a job where you're funded by the state, You understand. And that's how this week was. Prayerfully that we passed with flying colors, though. We passed with flying colors when they came to our building, our Owens Mill. That everything was up to date. The books was wonderful. Everybody was wonderful. The building was wonderful. And after that, they gave us a picnic. You know, I mean, not a picnic. They cooked out. They threw a party for us. And the thing was, oh, man, you fasted. And another thing, hallelujah, Hallelujah. For those who took part of this four days of fasting till the holy days come in, hallelujah. And I pray that this last fast was, and all the fasts was worth it. I pray whatever you laid down and what acts the Most High, I pray that he see the sacrifice that you have done, we have done, and he blesses us with that. Whatever you have prayed for, whatever that you showed and you was going to lay aside and you prayed for and you abstained from anything, any meats, any water for these 24 hours, these last 4 days, I pray that Abba blesses us with that. I pray he blesses our prayers and see our dedication for him. Pray everybody. And then, and you know, as I was thinking and about the fast and how the fast come in on a Friday, into my mind earlier today, man, I felt real low. I was real low. I was in the downtrodden state looking because, you know, you're driving, and I'm up at 4:45 every day at crack of dawn, and I'm out on the road, and then I do my run for 2.5 hours, then I'm at the building for another 5.5 hours, then I do another 2.5 hour run after that. So early this morning, I had this look on it, and I hear Yahweh speak to me like, hey, that's not the fast I'm talking about. You don't walk around here with your face all down and as if this is the worst thing in the world. No, you be joyous. And I'm here to testify. Once you come to that understanding of this is what you're doing is a joyous thing. This is, you're supposed to be joyous. You're supposed to be upbeat. The world don't supposed to be knowing, which I'm quite sure nobody tell that you're fasting. You might tell afterwards because, you know, especially my job, people offer and they always, they're out of the kitchen, they cooking all the time. Well, no, I'm thinking I'm good. And I started getting into today's lesson and listening, and because we had to get out of the building, we went to the park earlier, and as we on the park, I sat there in the van while the other staff had the clients out, and I was able to sit down and talk to Abba, and we get the lesson together, and he was giving me things, and my spirit was feeling good. I was like, oh, man, I feel good. I get out there, so I'm interacting with the clients. I'm walking around the park, and then the other one, you want to play some basketball, Sean? You can't beat me at basketball. I know I'm ahead about that tomorrow. I know the brother's going to joke me. They already said I'm in here dunking on the clients, which I'm not. I'm just having fun with them. So I'm out there shooting and everything. Boom, I'm going around, and I just forgot all about it fast, and then that little thing went off in my mind. And you know you better conserve some energy. And this is like 11:30, 12 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. I better sit down because I'm out here, and I forgot that I was fasting, and I forgot that I can't get no water afterwards. I'm sweating and everything. I'm like, oh, yeah, you better sit down. You're doing a little bit too much. You still got these 6 hours or 7 hours to go. You better chill. So I just sat back, and I relaxed and watched the clients, and we ended up going back to the building, and they had a little cookout for them. And the worst thing is when you're fasting, everybody trying to offer you something to eat. And I thought about what I thought about earlier. Dang, I wish a fast was on a Monday. It would be so much, in my little mind, it would be so much better if fast was on a Monday. Because, you know, we at the end of the week, and it's Friday, and you have all the week on you, and you just want the Sabbath to come in. You can't wait for the Sabbath to come in. And that's when the little light bulb went off. Right? That's why I told him to say on Friday, because that shows dedication. If you took that fast after you had to do all that work all week long, you know, come Friday, you really wanted to kick your shoes off and relax because it had been a long week leading up to Friday. But if you still had the fortitude, you still had the strength, you still had the spirit to do a fast for Abba after all this week, and you fast on this day, all I could say was, hallelujah, thank you, Abba, for giving me, for giving us the opportunity to show that we are willing to lay some things down to the side for you. And I just had to thank him for that, because my feeble mind was thinking, hey, money would be great, because this is the first day of the week. We just came off the weekend. We well rested. We good. So that Sunday to Monday night will be great. I would say no. No. At the end of the week, when you have all that on you and you still have the fortitude and the strength to put something aside for me, well done. Well done. That's all you can hear is well done. You know, and then my ride home, it's like everybody and their mother on the Friday is out on the highway by 1:30. Rush hour traffic starts at 1:30 on the Friday, if you haven't noticed it or not. And it was like 4 to 5 accidents. And you know, you're sitting there, you're driving, and your stomach growling, and you just hungry, and you just get to see the character of people when you're driving, because everybody's rushing to go somewhere. And I drive from Horns Mills to Joppa Town, and I got to make my way from Horns Mills, if you know where Joppa Town is on the way up towards Edgewood, right there before you get to Edgewood, right after White Marsh. So I'm in the city, out the city, on the highway, and you get to see the character of people, how everybody is just selfish. And that's what I was getting at, I was driving, because people cutting you off, traffic, I mean, it went from least maybe 10,000, probably to 40,000. That's how I look. Accident, I don't know why Friday, it seems like everybody want to get into an accident, 4 to 5 accidents on 695. From a 5-minute ride, it would take a half hour ride. You know, and I think I'm a good judge of the distance and how long it's going to take you, because I've been driving for 17 years. I should be. I should know how to judge these things. But I know from a 5-minute ride, turns into a half an hour ride, and that's wearing on your patience. That's wearing on your mind, because you just want to get out that van. I'm quite sure Shafu L can contest to that. You just want to get out that. You just want to walk. You just want to stretch your legs, because you've been in it for so long. And all that chaos that's going on in the highway. And another thing before I get to the point is, if we ever have an emergency, we're in trouble, because you're not getting out the city. We're not getting out the city. I mean, because the craziest thing backs the highway up. People are so nosy. If it's on the other side and you're riding down the street, you think it's an accident, but the accident on the other side of the highway, and that burns me up. But through all this chaos and all this, I see this man on the shoulder pushing his car. And I mean, he's struggling, because he must have broke down. So he on the shoulder, he's pushing his car. Yeah, you know how you got the door open. He got the steering wheel, and he's just struggling. And I saw, next thing you know, some other man run up behind, get out his car, see him pull over, run up behind and push it. Unknowing to the man that was pushing the car, all he felt was the car get lighter, his load, his burden got a little bit lighter, and he turned around, and the smile and the gratitude that came on that man's face, because that man didn't know him from Adam or Eve, but he got out of his car and he ran over there and he helped that man, loosen that man's burden. And we're going to talk about some of that tonight, because that's what Israel. And for me, what I saw in that was hope. Was hope. That's Israel. Israel is hope to this world. We're going to learn that tonight. We're going to learn that once we get rid of what we got to get rid of, things that's hindering us from being the hope to this world. But Israel is the hope of this world. Yahushua didn't say, greater works ye shall do for nothing. That's not written in there just to fill up some paper or just because he ain't had nothing else to say. He meant that. He meant that. And this world is hopeless. It's in a state of hopeless right now. It's in a state of YOLO. You only live once. It's in a state of I don't need a creator. I don't need a God, quote unquote. I don't need that, especially this young generation, the generation that they call the Z. And why would they call them the Z generation? That's food for thought, but we're not going to talk about that. But this Z generation, it's all about me. It's all about me. This generation here that's coming up now could care less about Yahweh, could care less about him. But what Yahweh said to Israel is, we are the hope for this world. We are the hope for this world. Because trust and believe, there's going to come a time when doo-doo hit the fan, they're going to look for the Most High. They're going to look for them. Look for him. And you see 10 men came up to this one man, and they grabbed hold of this Z, and they followed him. He's talking about this real nation. We know that's talking about the 10 quote-unquote lost tribes, but we're talking about the world. They're going to look for Yahushua. They're going to want his guidance. They're going to want his hope. But Yahweh said he scattered his people throughout the four corners of the world. But let's get into the lesson, family. Let's get into the lesson and let the lesson speak for itself. And I know I've been rambling for a little while now. Somebody shoot me a text. Let me know I'm sounding okay. You know, let's go to, again, our beginning scripture was the beginning of every last one of them. And that's Yeshayahu 1. And for those who don't know who Yeshayahu is, that is Tola Aki, both of you brothers. Yeshayahu is Isaiah. We're going to Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud, don't spare. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their disobedience and to the house of Jacob their sins. But is there's a verse in Jeremiah that we're going to. We're not going to Jeremiah now. We set the stage first. We're going to get there. But before we get to that verse, we know we're going to go to Ephesians 6:12. And we didn't read this before, but we're just setting it up. Because this is something, this is why we're here, Israel. This is why we're here. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of darkness, against this age, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That is our battle right there. Right there, Israel, is our battle. It is not flesh and blood. It is not who we see on a day-to-day basis. And we know, I understand, with Rabbi Yaki El Torah, that even they are the quote-unquote white man. Even all the other ethnic groups, they are deceived in hating the true Israelites. They are being used. They don't even know and understand that they are being used, because they hate the true Israelites for no reason. They don't even understand why. They don't understand why. They hate the hope of this world. They hope with what Abba have set up. Abba have set this. Yahweh have set this up. So I sent my son down. My son told y'all how to do it. First I sent Moshe. Then I sent my son. Then I sent Eliyah. Next I'm going to send Eliyah. And we understand that the spirit of Eliyah is a spirit of restoration, and that falls upon every Israelite to restore the nation, to restore the 12 tribes of Yisrael, to restore the hope of this world. Every time somebody see an Israelite, every time somebody come in contact with us, they supposed to feel or walk away with hope. There is a mighty one. and they might not even understand what it is. Why they feel this hope, why they feel this goodness, why they feel that way when they get around you. They might not understand it, but we supposed to understand that. We supposed to know. How many of us have had somebody come to us and say, it's something different about you? We're going to read that tonight. We're going to read that tonight. But what we want to do, we want to lay this foundation, and we want to pick up where we left off, because we left off where in chapter 2. We're in chapter 5 now. I mean, not chapter. We're in 5. We're in 5 right now. But in 2, we talked about how Yahweh's judgment. Was it 2 or 1? It was, I don't remember. But you can go back in the archive. You can find that out on your own. We talked about how Yahweh's judgments was either for you or against you. And we know when Yahweh came and he judged Israel, it was always for his benefit. For his benefit. Always for his benefit. So we went to Mark. And we're going to go to Mark now. We're going to read Mark 4. And just this one verse. Mark 4, 3. Listen. Behold, the farmer went out to sow. And we came to understand that Yahweh, he is this farmer. He is this farmer. So now let's go. Let's leave from here. Let's go to Matityahu. And we leave from here to go to Matityahu. And we're going to Matityahu 13, chapter 13. Verses 24-30. And if you don't know who Matityahu is, it is Matthew. Here at Beth Yahweh, we like to restore the true names of our ancestors, of our patriarchs, of those who Yahweh called out and laid the way for us. So we like to, not we like, we understand that our congregation is a congregation of restoration, to restore the right path and to direct people back to Yahweh. The same mission that Yahushua had, his thing when he came on the scene, he wanted to direct Israel's attention back to Yah. It wasn't as much so as himself, but he wanted them to look, y'all not worshiping the Father. Y'all off the path. Y'all path, y'all eyes should be back on Yah. So he came to restore the path of Yah. And we like to think of ourselves and that wherever the land lead, we follow. That's how we like to think of ourselves. And if we off track, we don't have no problem of getting back on track. And we thank Yah for coming and straightening us out when we off track. We have no problem with saying we was wrong. But Abba came, he corrected us. Now we back on the path. And that's somebody you want to follow. Yahushua, Paul said, follow me as I follow Yahushua. So we understand that a sower, we understand who the sower is, Yahweh. Yahweh is the sower. Matter of fact, we're going to read that it's Yahushua is the sower. And this brings right here, we in Matityahu. And again, for those who may be reading, I'm in the World English translation. So it may read a little different than what you have. We in the World English version. We at Matthew 13, starting at verse 24. He set another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. Behold, while people slept, his enemy came and sowed gnarled weeds also among the wheat and went away. But when the blade sprang up and produced fruit, the denarii appeared also. The servant of the householder came and said to him, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did these denarii come from?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant asked him, "Do you want us to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest perhaps while you gather them up the denarii, you root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the harvest time, I will tell the reapers first, gather up the denarii and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat until the barn." Now we're going to drop down. Stay in Matit Yahu. We're going to drop down to the explanation of this. And I believe that starts at 1345. No, is 13? Hold on for a minute, family. Let me find it. It's in the same chapter. 1347. Again, in the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea. No, that's not it. But we're going to read it anyway. Gathered some fish of every kind, which when it was filled, they drew up on the beach. They sat down and they gathered the good into the containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be in the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked from among the righteous and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Oh, no, let me find that. All right, it's 37, family. 37 is the answer to that. He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, Yahushua. The field is the world, and the good seed, these are the children of the kingdom, Yisrael. A sower went out to sow through Israel. We're going to read that. He threw Israel. He scattered Israel throughout the four corners of the earth. The field is the world, and the good seed, these are the children of the kingdom, and the denarii are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Therefore, the denarii weed are gathered up and burned with the fire. So will it be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling and those who do iniquity, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. But again, we want to delay the foundation. Who is the seed sower? Yahushua. Who was guiding Israel all that time? Yahushua. Who did he sow throughout the world kingdom? Israel. Why? Why was Israel sold throughout the world kingdom? We were talking about that. So let's go to Yeshakal. That is Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, verse 19. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the country. I judged them according to their way and according to their deeds. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Israel. Why? Because we understand that Israel is the hope of this world. And I hope I ain't got to do a disclaimer, because we all should know and understand that it may not be. It's not all Israel. It's that remnant. It's that Israel of Yah, those who he is raising up and setting apart. Those are the ones that is the hope of this world. Those are the ones. And we thought about that earlier this week, too, because me and Ivan was in good conversation, great conversation, all week long, just talking back and forth. And I thought about the scripture that came to mind, and he said, if it wasn't for the elect's sake, that there shall no flesh be saved. And how that came about was because I was thinking about this ozone thing that they got going on, this global warming thing that's going on. And I sat back and thought about, like, I remember Rabbi Gershom Daniel teaching about how the sun going to burn men's skin. It's going to scorch us. And because, you know, me and McKenzie, we had a good conversation about it. And she was like, we only got 11 months. Or it was 11 months or 11 years for it's quote unquote, it's irreversible. It's irreversible, and it will be 83 degrees all year round, but the summer will be much hotter. And she was like, wow, because she's been into it. She's been following it. You know, I guess it's their peers who are leading the charge in this global warming thing. And we talked about that. And I told her, like, well, you know, what's the true cause of that? It's sin. Because the scripture does talk about how the sun going to scorch men's skin. It talks about how the earth shall reel like a drunken. But he said, because of the elect's sake, there shall no flesh shall be saved. And then what was the great conversation that we was having, because at one time I just looked at it as when they left them bombs off, man, it's going to be very few people left. But he was showing me it's much greater than that. It's much greater than that. Man is killing each other at a rate that it had never happened in the history of man. Today, in today's society, people are dying at an alarming rate. You got diseases out of control. We got killing out of control. We got so much things that's happening around the world that, like I already said, if he does not intervene, there shall be no flesh saved. Why? Because men are going to annihilate one another. They're going to kill and to destroy one another. It is, you got the elite thinking that a third of the population should be killed off anyway, thinking that the planet is overpopulated. How is the planet overpopulated and we ain't even explore all of it? It's the parts of the planet we talking about on land that man haven't even been on yet. But they saying the planet is overpopulated. We got to have control. A third of the people got to die. So you got people like Bill Gates pumping up vaccines. You got so much that's going on in this world system right now. And like I said at the beginning, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It ain't these men who think that the world is overpopulated, we got to destroy a third of the people. It's that evil one that's running things behind the scenes. He is the one. He is the orchestrator that's orchestrating all this controlled confusion, this ordered chaos. And that's an oxymoron, but that's exactly is what happening. This ordered chaos. You got so many different things that we here in America is not privy to that's going on in the rest of the world. You got the rainforest that's on fire. It's so much more in this world that we're not privy to. We only privy to what's going on here. But he has ordered chaos throughout the world. Throughout the world. They just here. like I said in the beginning, the people going to be looking for hope. They're going to want hope. And we know, those who know and understand, those who can hear. Once I said that last part, what popped in my mind is when they going to want hope, is the adversary going to give them hope. That's why the scripture talks about this one, the son of perdition, that's going to rise up, and he's going to give the people hope. But it's going to be the false hope. Wow. How is it that this man is going to be able to rise up and give people hope if the world won't be in such confusion, if people are not going to be looking for hope? They are going to be looking for hope. And Yahweh said, I wish not one perish, no, not one. But he understands that people are going to be people. People are going to do what they want to do. YOLO, you only live once. You only live once. That's another saying that I don't need the Creator. You only live once. Let me live my life to the fullest and to the best of my ability till I have so much fun, and it's all about fun. I don't need a Creator right now. I don't need order right now. And that's what he's giving the people. He's giving the people chaos. The people like that. But it's going to come to a point where they're going to cry for that order. But right now they're loving disorder. They don't want order. Because, you know, if you say there's a mighty one, there's order. There's order that comes with serving the God or the mighty one of the Torah. You can be a Christian, you can be a Buddha, you can be anything else. But when it comes to serving the one true one, no, I don't want to be that. It's too much order. And I heard somebody tell me, I'm quite sure y'all have too, that no, don't tell me. Because it'll tell me. If you tell me, you show me in the Bible, then I feel obligated to gotta do it. But if I don't know, I ain't gotta do it. If I don't know the order, I don't have to follow it. So I only live once, so let me live my life without the Creator, without his law, without his order. But look, let's go back 1800, give or take a couple hundred years. A seed was started way back when. You're not under the law no more. This new thing that came in, this Christianity that came in, this thing that came in and it started something, you're not under the order no more. You're not under the jurisdiction. You're not under the rulership of the Most High Yah. You're not under that. But we know who came and who ordered that, who gave that. We know we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against that. But let's get on, because some things down here that I wasn't even supposed to put down here, but I put down here again. Matter of fact, I read that one. He said, I'll read it all. All right, I'm going to read it all then. You want me to read it all? So let's go to where we at. And yes, sir, Cal, Ezekiel 36:19. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. I judged them according to their way and according to their deeds. But he did it for a reason. Israel is scattered for a reason. Now let's go and find out this reason. Let's go to Jeremiah 51. And so we're going to get into some Jeremiah next week. Some more. You're probably out of the same chapter. That's Jeremiah 51, starting at verse 20. We're going to see how important Israel is. We're going to see why he scattered Israel. Why the hope of Israel. And I know when we read this, but when we read this back in the Babylon days, but bring it up to date. Let's bring it up to date. And let's see the spiritual. Let's see this world system. See the world system that we're living in now when you hear these scriptures, when you hear these verses, and see what Abba asking you to do, what he's asking you to do about this hope in this world system. What are you asking you to do? No. Now, Jeremiah, for those who know Jeremiah, that's Jeremiah, and we're starting at 51, Jeremiah 51, verses 20 to 23. No, matter of fact, I'm sorry, I'm starting at 19. The portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the former of all things. He is the former of all things, including the tribe of his inheritance. Yahweh Zebaoth is his name. Who's Israel's portion? Yahweh. It's not like nobody else, including the tribe. I like how he didn't say the 12 tribes, because it's one nation. It's one nation. Israel. We rising up, we hearing these things, we coming to understand who we are, we coming to understand who we are in Hasatana's plan with our emotions. Because in the mind of the Most High Yah, is only one tribe, is Israel. That's it. Israel is Yah's portion. That's it. He is the one that formed everything. It's one tribe. In the mind. In this one tribe, others will be added to. Others will be. Remember the wheat and the tares? He didn't say the dandelions and this and here and the ferns and all these. He didn't add. He only had two. And that two represents the good and the evil. But when he talked, when he said his tribe, he's talking about one Israel, period. Period, nothing else. No additives, no preservatives, just Israel. That's it. Ain't no two tribes up there. It's one. It's one. One. And this, we're reading that this time that the nation was broke up at this time, I believe. It was two houses. But there's only one thought in the mind of Yahweh, and that's Israel. That's Israel. 19 again. The portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the former of all things. He is the creator of all things. We understand who is the creator of all things, Yahushua HaMashiach, and there was nothing created without him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Elohim. And all things were created by him, and nothing without him. Amen. So, for he is the creator of all things, including the tribe of his inheritance. Yahweh Zebaoth is his name, Yahweh. Armies, Yahweh of armies, and he got two armies. He had two. He do. It is plural. He got one in the Shamayim, one in the heavens, and he has one down here on the earth that he's forming. He's bringing together. What do you need an army down here for, Abba? Let's go. Let's read. Let's read. Let's get into it. You, who are you, Israel? You, Israel, are my battle axe. You, Israel, is my weapon in this world system. You, Israel, is my hope in this world system and my weapons of war. Israel, my weapon of war is you, Israel. You are the hope. I told you we're going to look at this and we're going to see it in the spiritual. Because right now, that's what we are fighting. We're not fighting a physical battle. And when it comes time, it's when we have to do that. If and when we have to do that, we'll be ready for that because he will give us what we need. Right now, we are fighting the spiritual battle. So when you read these things, see the spirit in it. See what he wants us to see. Because we know right now, he had written this back then, but what it means to us today. Spiritual battle. You are his battle axe. You are his weapon, Israel. His hope in this world. You are my battle axe and my weapons of war. With you, I will break the nations into pieces. With you, I will destroy kingdoms. With you, I will break in pieces the horse and the rider. With you, I will break in pieces the chariot and him who rides therein. With you, I will break in pieces man and woman. With you, I will break in pieces the old man, the youth. With you, I will break in pieces young men and the virgins. With you, I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you, I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke. With you, I will break in pieces governors and deputies. Israel, with you, I will say, with you, I give hope, Israel, to this world system. With you, Israel. Yahushua said it like this. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. He said, and he's talking to each and every person that called themselves an Israelite. Each, you have a job to do. Each and every person who called themselves an Israelite, male, female, child, old, does not matter. Priest, layman, it doesn't matter. A duty to walk in this world upright in his Torah, to break in pieces everything he named. And we're going to spiritualize that. We're going to see all that in the spirit. Everything that rises itself against Yahushua, the scripture, that is your job. You are his battleaxe. You are his weapon in this darkened world. You are the light. You are the salt in this world. We are Israel. We are Yahweh's battle axe. We are his weapon. Now, you thought you was joining something just to lay low and be a no. You want to or not, you're already in the war. You think you're going to fight or not, you're already in it. We talking spiritual. We talking spiritual. So let's go back to Jeremiah 51. For some odd reason, he had me to go back and to look at that and read the whole thing. I mean, not Jeremiah. Is it Jeremiah? No, it's Yeshayahu 58. Yeshayahu, I'm sorry. That is Isaiah, for those who don't know. Isaiah 58. And we're going to read this whole chapter. We're going to read this whole chapter because Israel, we are a standard in this world. We are a standard in this world. When people meet us, when people see us, it should be something different about us. Love emanating from us, hope emanating from us, and sternness and good words and everything else that falls up under the Torah should be emanating from us. You should automatically know that we are different. Automatically. When they speak to us, when they see us, there's an awe that's around us at all times. unless we hide it. Unless we hide no aura. Unless we are not, or we're going to get to it. We're going to get into the fruits of the Spirit. That's at the end. He says, end with that. But right now, let's get into Yeshayahu chapter 58:1. That is Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud. Don't spare. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their disobedience and to the house of Yaakov their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and did forsake the ordinance of their mighty one, the acts of me righteous judgments, they delight to draw near to Elohim. Why have we fasted, say they, and you don't see? Why have we afflicted our souls and you didn't notice? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and oppress all your labor. Behold, you fast for strife and contention and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You don't fast today so as to make your voice to be heard on high. Is this the fast that I have chosen? A day of for a man to be humble in soul? To humble his soul? Is it so to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under himself? With him, with you, will you call this a fast, an acceptable day to Yahweh? Isn't this the fast that I have chosen? Isn't this the fast that I have chosen? To release the bounds of the wicked, to undo the strap of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Israel, you are my battle axe. You are my weapon. Isn't it to disturb your bread, to distribute your bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor who are cast out to your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you not hide yourself from your own flesh, that your light will break out as morning, and your healing will appear quickly, then your righteousness shall go before you, and Yahweh's glory will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and Yahweh will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you take away from among the yoke, finger pointing and speaking wickedly, and if you pour out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light will rise in darkness, and your obscurity will be as the noonday. And Yahweh will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in dry places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water don't fail. Those who shall be of you shall build the old waste places. You shall rise up the foundation of many generations, and you shall be called repair of the breach, restore of the past, and with dwelling. I like that. Let me read that again. Those who shall be of you shall build the old waste paths. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called repair of the breach, restore of the past with dwelling. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy of Yahweh honorable, so honor it, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in Yahweh, and I will make you to ride on the high places of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Yaakov, your father, for Yahweh's mouth has spoken it. Hallelujah. Yeah, I understand why right now, because everything we talked about beforehand, Yahweh has already laid down. So it's all right, let me lay it down for you. Let me continue building. That's why. Let me continue building on it. And I hope we shamar that last one, that whole chapter. Go back in your spare time and read it. In your spare time. And let's finish out here. We're finishing out. We're going to Galatians 17-25 or 26. I don't know. One of them. Because we are the hope of the world, Israel. We are the hope of the world. We are Yahweh's battle axe. We are Yahweh's battle axe. And I know we flesh and blood, and I know that we get tired, and I know we got a million things pulling us every which way. I know this. How I know? Because I get tired. I have a million things pulling me every which way. But you know what Yahweh said? You said you were doing it. You said that you will be a living sacrifice for me. You said that. Israel, you said that. You chose to be a part of this nation. He makes no one stay. He asks you to stay. He asks you to be a part. He asks you to be his battle axe, his weapon, his light, the salt, hope for a darkened world. Hope. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, that you may not do the things that you desire. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the Torah, under the law. Because we know, I understand, under the, if you sin, you die. Now you're talking about one law, he's talking about the whole law. Because we know what we was taught. And if you don't know, and you're listening to this, when anybody come up in the quote-unquote New Testament and it says law, the first thing you should ask is, what law? What law is he talking about? Because just like the United States has a constitution, and the constitution has a many and a myriad of laws that's in it, you go to traffic court for one thing, and you go to a domestic violence court for another thing. They're two different courts, but two different laws. The Yahweh's law is the same way. The Torah is the constitution of the kingdom of Yah. And that's as simply as I can put it. The Torah is the constitution of the kingdom of Yah. How you should live and be a good citizen in the kingdom. That's the best way I can put it. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, that you may not do the things that you desire. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are obvious, which are adultery, sexual immorality, uncleanness, lustfulness, adultery, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, revelry, division, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, even as I also forewarn you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom, will not be in paradise. Period. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Mashiach have crucify the flesh with its passion and lust. Those who belong to Yahushua have crucified the flesh with its passion and lust. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. Verse 26. Let's not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abba Yah, I want to thank you once again for opening up the door of Shabbat, Father. I want to thank you for your rest, Father. I want to thank you for our leader, Father, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov, for his guidance. Father, I thank you for leading that Yahweh, Father. I thank you for your Spirit who has been leading that Yahweh since the inception. I thank you for that, Father. Father, I ask in a special comfort, a special blessing upon Emma, that you keep her surrounded with the Mishpachah, that we keep her in prayers, not just her, all of that Yahweh. We have lost another one of our elders, Father, which you know, which you've had his tour by now, Father, which he's in Abraham's bosom. We thank you for that, Father. Father, we also talk to the rest of us, Father, that we get that tour and we get to rest in Abraham's bosom, Father. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, that's why. Shabbat shalom. Till next week.
Oh, Jah! The wicked are up on Ayanai in their multitude, trying to conquer Ayanai. Give ear into our supplication.
Is that God? Saint Joshua, who's the son of Nun, who brought I and I across River Jordan, and though the Amorites and the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites all tried to fight against the Israelites, Jah gave us victory before the daylight, 'cause we call on Jah. Come along and let's rectify. Let's